Hello everybody, this is Chandra Dasa again from the BuddhaCentre.com team, and I'm back in Glasgow after a few weeks. You might have heard on the European Chairs Assembly, we did some really nice little booze from there with various people. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, go back and have a wee listen. You can listen to Sadhnandi talking about ritual and Visantra talking about the practice of just sitting and spiritual receptivity. But today, as I say, I'm back in Glasgow and I'm with my very good friend Surya Vangsa. Now, we were just sitting talking there about what it is brings to life a spiritual community for people who come across the Dharma. And quite often it's really just people and exemplification itself. And it's certainly true with Surya Vangsa. I remember one long walk with him around Lough Foyle in the Highlands of Scotland, talking about art and poetry. And even though I'd come across the Dharma and heard lots of great things, that's what sold me, was the exemplification of someone living out an artist's life and pursuing the teaching of the Buddha in his life. And here he is, he's just back from 3 months, 4 months, sorry, he's holding up four fingers, 4 months in Spain at Gujiloca Retreat Centre, being on the team for a men's ordination retreat. A very mysterious and beautiful part of the life cycle of anybody's spiritual practice in the Tirana Buddhist order. And here he is, he's just back, he's sitting with me in his robes, and he's just been showing me the most beautiful little models of flames, vajras and lotuses that he made as part of the retreat. We're very lucky to get to see it. I've posted one picture with this boo, and we'll maybe stick up a few more on thebuddhacentre.com. So I thought we'd take an opportunity to have a wee chat with Surya Vangsa about making the models themselves, the process of it, and where it comes from. And also maybe warm up that theme again of what brings to life a spiritual community. So this is Surya Vangsa, who's a bearded beauty beside me on the couch. He's appalled at that description, appalled. So you can say hello to the world, Surya Vangsa.
Hello.
So you've made these lovely little models, flames, vajras and lotuses. Do you want to talk a little bit about where they came from and how they were used without giving away any great secrets?
Yeah. It's a secret valley, and the ritual takes the whole 4 months in a way as a big ritual leading up and away from the ordinations. So there's a lot that happens on that is kept for being on that, so the people that go have an element of surprise and immediacy. So a lot of it is top secret for that reason, for that particular reason. But these were just tasks given to me to make one for everybody, which would fit together and represent the mandala, different phases of the mandala, or the unfolding context of the practice that we're all in together. So everybody who's on the retreats got one, a set of these on their shrines or somewhere in their, and now they come back home into the world, the wider world. So I just worked with a cardboard light 180 gram, 120 gram card, something like that. And I was given a little origami thing. I said, make something like that. And I thought, we could do better than that. Because I'd just been at my folks' golden wedding anniversary. And my sister had been making roses out of icing. And it just gave me an idea of, as you can curl icing, you can curl cards. And I just worked away. And as each phase came up, I was spending all my times in between the meals and the meditations and the studies. And pottering about, making prototypes. And until I kind of got something that worked. The thing I'm most proud of is the vajra, the thunderbolt. It's just I don't know how I did it. You know, I was struggling away, and there was glue and little strips of paper going everywhere, and it was horrible for a wee while. But somehow, just persevering, and it started to come together, and it settled. And it was lovely. Just it's a long time since I've done art for myself, and I've always thought, given the present art world, it's why. What am I supposed to do? So I've been so busy in Buddhist activities and Sangha activities. So just to have something which is a task for or a very profound Sangha activity, you know, supporting and being part of the context of people leading up to ordination, people practicing together and moving up to their ordination, was I thought, this is what art's for. So I just have to find more and more excuses to do. Make ritual objects for events, you know, events that kind of community events that kind of come up, rather than me some weird ideas that we have these days of me expressing myself, which I've no real urge to do, really.
Well, it's interesting. You can see a bunch of art by Suryavangsa on thebuddhacentre.com. If you click on images, you'll find a gallery of his work and a little diary of him talking about his work. Looking at these pieces in particular, really incredibly intricate, really, really lovely work, right down to the tiny golden hungs painted on the one of the kind of inner sections of the top of the Vajra. And fascinating that it comes from your sister's kind of intensely detailed work on icing, which we'll take some photographs of as well, and we'll put up so you can see them too. This really lovely little purple rose and curling green leaf.
There was also, me and Maitri Siddha were heading on to the retreat. We spent 4 days in Barcelona, and it was, is it the Palm weekend, Palm Sunday? Mm. But the night before, we'd been walking up the street up from the Ramblas, and there was stall after stall of palm crosses, palm, and the work they'd put in, the work, it was a beautiful pleated and folded things for sale. But you know, he was not a tradition stuck in a gallery or a museum, but in a commercial street, and thousands of people had turned up with their families, and the kids would buy one and have little toys tied on, so you could buy little toys with it. But it was really moving to see like people coming together for a collective event that the whole town was it was happening there underneath all the modern city commerce and Corte Inglés shopping and everything. And there was this thing that had been going for a while, but obviously they were changing and adapting those individual styles and something, but that really got me. It's not an individualist's art expression, but like a real beautiful craft with a role. I think that struck me. So that and the Golden Wedding cupcakes were the main influences. And the Buddhist context of lotus vajra flames. You know.
That's good, actually, because it reminds me of growing up in Catholic Glasgow, and for all the things one might say about it, that tradition of folding palms to make crosses. Mm. And there'd just be somebody in every family who did that. Mm. I mean, everybody tried to do it. I was completely useless at it, but I remember one of my sisters was very, very deft. And you'd be given these sheafs of palms to take home. And I suppose we just made those things with a kind of lack of self-consciousness about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't throwaway, but there was something casual about it in the sense of making religious objects as a kind of ordinary part of life without it being fancy or weird or anything like that. And it strikes me as that we could learn something from that lack of self-consciousness, that's just part of what you do for spiritual expression, like, people make things and give them to each other and stick them on their front doors and stuff.
And it's got a purpose that goes beyond itself, which is very Buddhist. It's not, the thing isn't itself. You as an artist isn't the end in itself. It's feeding into something which is a bigger, of course, they've got the theological, and as a Buddhist, you've got your bigger framework for that, but also a community sense, a collective sense.
It's really great to know that the guys who were on that course are kind of bringing away, well, these little objects that you made, the flames, the vajras and the lotus, were sitting on a sand mandala, something that looks like a fairly traditional mandala, and it's nice to know that they're carrying away a piece of that from the retreat as a kind of memory.
The thing is, it's because it's a mandala, what everyone takes away isn't a bit of the mandala, it's the whole mandala.
That's true.
So even one grain of sand from that, is the whole, this is how mandalas work. So it's like in a community, you're not a bit of a Buddhist community. Every individual is the whole of it. And when you come together, it just becomes a bigger whole. There's something about that, you get this little set is the whole mandala. I find that it's a profundity to that.
Yeah, I really like that idea. They've all got one of these and they're sort of pulsing with the life of the whole. it's like the kind of, the retreat has been seeded back into the world and it's having its effect.
And we've got to go out, we've got little piles of the sand and we have to go out and our task is to, that's our bodhisattva activity, it's we pour it where we're going to give to the world the fruits of the 4 months retreat. So there'll be people throwing it around in shrine rooms and in rivers and wherever.
Fantastic stuff. So we're going to leave you now with your images, your own images of the mantle of lotus Flame and Vajra in your head. As I say, there'll be some pictures up on thebuddhacentre.com. If you click on connect or go to thebuddhacentre.com/community, you'll probably find them in the latest feed. That's all for us just now. We'll talk to you about something else another time. But it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Suryavangsa.
Bye.